There's this very specific tension we all feel in modern life. It usually hits on a Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. You're looking around your living room, staring at a pile of mail on the coffee table. You're watching this suspicious-looking dust bunny just sort of migrate across the hardwood
Just
floor.
scrifting along.
Exactly. And you're weighing the ultimate paradox of adulthood, which is time versus money. You find yourself calculating whether you can afford to just, buy your way out of doing chores this weekend.
It's the universal dilemma of the working professional. We desperately want our weekends back, but we also, well, we need to protect our budgets.
Right. And if you are currently standing in the middle of a mess having that exact internal debate, you're definitely not alone.
No, not at all. But trying to figure out where those two lines intersect, the time and the money, when it comes to home maintenance, it can feel impossible.
Because the pricing in the house cleaning industry often feels like a closely guarded secret.
It really does. Like, they don't want you to know until you're already committed.
Which is exactly why we are doing this deep dive today. We are cutting through all that mystery to look at the real, totally transparent costs of house cleaning in Toronto and the Greater Toronto area. And this is specifically for the year 2026.
Yes. No more surrendering your email address to five different websites just to get a baseline idea of what it costs to have someone scrub a bathtub.
We actually have our hands on a comprehensive 2026 market rate guide published by Mrs. Cleanmall.
And they've done the heavy lifting here. They aggregated the current market numbers across the GTA.
So we are going to look at the mechanics behind those numbers. Because, well, when you understand the why and the how of a quote, it changes things.
It absolutely does. You start to see why the exact same house can cost $150 or like $400, depending on a few invisible factors.
Right. You transition from just blindly accepting a price tag to actually understanding the market.
Yeah.
So let's just start with the baseline realities, because a clean is not just a clean.
No, not at all.
Looking at the 2026 GTA numbers, the market is broken down into very distinct tiers of service. The most common is your regular maintenance clean, which currently runs between $120 to $280 per visit.
And that covers your standard functional areas, right? Kitchens, bathrooms, bedrooms, and floors.
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically a surface level reset of the home, but the moment you step out of that baseline, the labor mechanics shift dramatically.
Right.
If you ask for a deep clean, the price jumps to $250 to $600.
Okay, wait, I always wondered about that. What exactly is happening in a deep clean that justifies, basically doubling the price?
Well,
Because from the outside, it just looks like they're cleaning the same rooms, maybe just scrubbing a bit harder.
I get that a lot, but what's fascinating here is it's not really about scrubbing harder. It's about touching surfaces that are usually completely ignored.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so in a deep clean, they are adding in appliance interiors. They're scrubbing baseboards hand and knees style and doing this highly detailed surface wiping of things like door frames and light fixtures.
The stuff we pretend doesn't get dusty.
Exactly. But the real mechanical shift, like where it really jumps, happens when you move to a move-in or move-out clean. That goes from $300 all the way to $700.
See, that one feels super counterintuitive to me. If I'm moving out, the house is empty. There's no furniture to vacuum around. There's no clutter to pick up. Shouldn't an empty house be way cheaper and faster to clean?
You would think so, right? But an empty house actually exposes so much more surface area.
Really?
Yeah. Think about your kitchen right now. During a regular maintenance clean, the cleaners are wiping down the outside of your cabinet doors. They intentionally skip the inside because, well, your dishes and cereal boxes are in there.
Oh, right. They're not going to organize my pantry.
Exactly. But on a move-out clean, every single cabinet is empty. The cleaners have to open 40 different doors and drawers, wipe down all the hinges, dig the crumbs out of the back corners, and tackle the inside of the fridge and the oven.
Wow, okay.
The sheer square footage of wipeable surface area essentially doubles when the furniture and all your belongings are gone.
Okay. Yeah, when you visualize manually wiping out 40 empty kitchen drawers, that $700 ceiling starts to make a lot of sense. That is incredibly tedious work.
It really is.
And that actually brings us to the absolute top tier, which is the post-construction clean. The guide prices this at $400 to well over $900. I imagine that's just a completely different logistical nightmare.
Oh, it is. Because post-construction isn't about dirt. It's about fine particulate matter.
Like the drywall dust.
Exactly. Drywall dust doesn't just sit on a counter, it floats in the air and settles continuously over days. Standard consumer vacuums can actually be completely destroyed by drywall dust.
Wait, really? It breaks them.
Yeah, it burns out the motors.
Yeah.
So a cleaning crew has to bring in specialized equipment with industrial HEPA filters, and they often have to wipe down walls and surfaces multiple times because the dust just keeps settling while they work.
So you aren't just paying for their time, you're paying for the depreciation of their specialized equipment.
Spot on.
Which is a brilliant transition to the final category, the Airbnb turnover. That sits between $100 to $300 per visit.
Right.
And I always assumed an Airbnb clean was just like a fast hotel-style maid service. But looking at the scope of work here in the source, it's not really just cleaning, is it? It's basically micro-property management.
Precisely. An Airbnb turnover is a hospitality reset, and it's under an extreme time crunch.
Because of the check-in times.
Yeah, the cleaner isn't just wiping counters. They are doing inventory. They are checking for property damage, laundering bedding, doing that artistic towel folding thing, and restocking the coffee pods.
Right.
And they have to execute this perfectly within a rigid window, usually between 11 a.m. checkout and a 3 p.m. check-in. The pressure and the scope are just entirely different from residential cleaning.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's basically like taking your car in.
Yeah.
A regular clean is your standard wash and vacuum. A deep clean is getting the upholstery shampooed. But post-construction, that's bringing the car in after you've taken it off-roading through a mud pit. The word cleaning applies to all of them, but the tools, the time, and the expertise are worlds apart.
That is a perfect analogy. And even within those tiers, two identical homes can receive wildly different quotes for the exact same service.
Which gets us into the modifiers.
Right, because the base price assumes a bunceling reality that rarely exists. And this introduces us to the sliding scale of modifiers.
Okay, so looking at the data, obviously a 600 square foot condo and a 3,000 square foot house are existing in completely different pricing universes. But I want to push past the obvious here.
Sure.
Yes, a bigger house takes longer to clean. But the pricing scale isn't strictly linear, is it? A 3,000 square foot house doesn't just cost exactly five times what the condo costs. The friction compounds.
It absolutely compounds. When you scale up to a larger, often more premium home, you aren't just adding more floor space. You are introducing specialized materials.
Like what?
Well, that 3,000 square foot house might have a custom marble kitchen island that requires a very specific pH neutral cleaner, or delicate hardwood floors that can't handle excess moisture. Plus, you are adding multiple flights of stairs, which means the cleaners are physically lugging heavy commercial vacuums and mop buckets up and down. The operational complexity scales much faster than the raw square footage.
That structural complexity makes total sense. But then there's the location factor.
Oh, yeah.
The Mrs. Clean Mall Guide notes that central Toronto tends to run higher in price than the 905 suburbs. And if you go further out to places like Barrie or Collingwood, prices are generally lower.
Yes, they are.
Now, I know the standard explanation is usually just cost of living, but there has to be a logistical reason why downtown Toronto costs more to clean than a suburb, right?
The logistics are actually the primary driver here. Think about a cleaning team servicing a sprawling suburban neighborhood in Barrie.
Okay.
They pull their car directly into the driveway, unload their equipment, and walk through the front door. It takes maybe 3 minutes. Super easy.
Now, put that exact same team in downtown Toronto.
Oh, I see where this is going. The friction of the city itself.
Exactly. In central Toronto, they have to navigate gridlock traffic just to get to the client. Then they have to find street parking, which they often have to pay for, or they have to navigate some confusing underground visitor parking garage.
Which is a nightmare.
It is. Then they haul their equipment to a condo lobby, wait in line for the concierge to check their ID, and wait another 10 minutes for an available elevator. A cleaner might lose 45 minutes of their day just trying to physically enter the client's home.
Just to get in the door.
Right. Time is money, and the cleaning companies have to bake that logistical friction into their downtown rates.
It's basically the invisible tax of urban density.
Totally.
But let's talk about the condition of the home. Because the source material points out that condition overrides whatever service you actually ask for.
It definitely does. I mean, a homeowner might call up and say, hey, I just want a basic $150 maintenance clean.
But if the company walks in and sees soap scum that has been calcifying in the shower for 6 months, they are going to quote, a deep clean. To get a home to a maintainable baseline, you first have to undo months of neglect.
Which brings up, honestly, the most fascinating modifier in this entire guide. Frequency.
Nah.
The numbers show that clients who book biweekly cleans actually pay 10 to 20% less per visit than people who just book occasionally.
That's right.
And honestly, this feels backward to me. Here's where it gets really interesting. If I am committing to hiring a team every 2 weeks, taking up prime real estate on their calendar, shouldn't I be paying a premium for that access? Why did the per-visit rate actually drop?
It seems completely counterintuitive until you separate the idea of cleaning into two distinct categories, maintenance versus remediation.
Wait, is remediation just the industry's polite term for scraping 6 months of calcified toothpaste out of my bathroom sink?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you're saying consistency actually changes the physical chemistry of the job?
That is exactly what I'm saying. When a home is cleaned biweekly, the buildup of dust, grease, and grime never reaches a critical mass. The work becomes highly predictable.
Because it's just not that dirty.
Right. The cleaners aren't using heavy degreasers or letting chemicals sit for 10 minutes to break down hard water stains. They are simply maintaining a baseline. Furthermore, they learn your home.
What do you mean by that?
They know exactly which products work best on your specific surfaces. They know the layout, and they develop a rhythm.
So the physical friction of the job drops to almost zero? They can just move through the house on autopilot?
Precisely. A one-time clean is heavy lifting and unpredictable problem solving. A biweekly clean is a smooth, lubricated system. The cleaning company passes those efficiency savings back to you as a discount because a regular client represents predictable revenue that requires significantly less intensive labor.
That is such an elegant way to look at it. You are basically getting a financial reward for not letting your house turn into a biohazard between visits. But all of these modifiers, the size, the logistics of the condo elevator, the frequency, they all have to eventually translate into a final invoice.
Yeah.
And the 2026 data shows two main billing models, hourly versus flat rate.
Yes. So hourly rates in the GTA currently sit between $40 to $75 per cleaner per hour.
Okay.
Meaning a two-person team runs the meter at $80 to $150 an hour. This model is predominantly used by solo independent operators. On the flip side, larger established companies almost exclusively use flat rate pricing.
Which is just a set price for the whole thing.
Right. A guaranteed total price for the visit, regardless of the clock.
Okay. I have a major bone to pick with flat rate pricing.
Let's hear it.
So what does this all mean for the homeowner? Let's say a company quotes me a flat rate of $200 for my condo. If they send two incredibly efficient people and they finish the whole place in an hour and a half, I just paid well over $130 an hour. Isn't a flat rate just a clever way for the cleaning company to bake in a massive hidden buffer? If they finish early, I'm just overpaying for their time. Flat rate seems like the obvious choice for them to make more money.
That's a very common frustration, and I totally get it, but you have to look at what you're actually buying with a flat rate. You aren't buying their hours. You are buying the transfer of risk.
The transfer of risk? Wait, how so?
With an hourly rate, the homeowner bears all the risk of inefficiency.
Okay.
If the cleaner is having a slow day, or if they struggle with a specific stain, the clock keeps ticking and your bill just keeps climbing. You have absolutely no idea what the final cost will be until they walk out the door.
Oh, right. Because they're on the clock.
Exactly. But with a flat rate, the cleaning company assumes that risk. They make an expert calculation based on your home. If they miscalculate and it takes them an extra hour to scrub your oven, they absorb that cost. Your bill stays at $200.
So it's essentially an insurance policy against unpredictability. I pay a premium for the guarantee that my bill will never randomly spike.
Exactly. For the homeowner, it offers absolute financial predictability. You know exactly what will leave your bank account every other Tuesday.
That makes a lot of sense.
Conversely, solo cleaners often stick to hourly rates to protect themselves against clients who misrepresent how dirty their homes are over the phone.
Oh, people definitely do that. It's just a little dusty.
All the time. If a client lies about the condition of the home, an hourly cleaner is protected because they are paid for every extra minute it takes to fix the mess. It really just comes down to which model fits your personal risk tolerance.
Which perfectly sets up the biggest trap in the entire industry, the cheap quote.
Oh boy, yes.
Let's say you're shopping around, you get two flat rate quotes from established companies for $180. But then an independent cleaner quotes you a flat rate of $80.
Yeah.
The instinct is to jump at the bargain. But the Mrs. Clean Mall Guide issues a very stark warning about this.
They do. The cheapest quote is almost always a massive red flag. Because you really have to ask yourself what corners are being cut to achieve a price that falls that far below the market baseline.
Choosing the absolute cheapest quote for someone to come into your private space is a bit like buying gas station sushi.
That is exactly what it's like.
Sure, it's cheap, but you really have to ask yourself what corners were cut to get the price that low. You're basically inviting liability into your home. Hiring a dirt cheap cleaner feels like a life hack until they accidentally drop your expensive OLED TV, or worse, slip and fall on a wet tile floor in your kitchen.
Right.
If they are charging $80, they are absolutely not paying for commercial liability insurance or workers' compensation. Guess who becomes liable when they get injured inside your home? You do.
It's a massive vulnerability.
Yeah.
Professional GTA companies price higher because they are carrying the overhead of doing business ethically and safely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, they pay their staff a living wage. They train them on how to handle harsh chemicals without damaging your property or, you know, their own lungs. And they carry robust insurance policies.
So you aren't just paying for clean floors. You are paying for a firewall between you and legal liability.
Exactly.
Which transitions us into the ultimate question of value. Is any of this actually worth the money? For a household working full-time, a biweekly maintenance clean of a two-bedroom home runs roughly $150 to $220. That is a significant line item in a monthly budget.
It is a lot of money, but you have to evaluate the return on investment through the lens of opportunity cost.
Right.
What is the value of the 2 or 3 hours you would have spent scrubbing toilets and mopping floors on a Saturday morning?
Doing literally anything else.
Could you be resting? Could you be spending focused time with your kids? You have to reframe the transaction. You are not buying a clean house. You are literally buying back hours of your life.
And there's a fascinating psychological benefit that comes with it, too. The source data points out that having a scheduled cleaner actually motivates people to stay tidier.
Oh, 100%.
If you know the team is arriving on Thursday morning, you are forced to pick up your laundry and clear the mail off the kitchen island on Wednesday night. It forces a baseline level of organization.
You're outsourcing the heavy lifting, the scrubbing, and the mopping, which preserves your mental bandwidth to maintain the smaller daily tasks of tidying. It creates a rhythm of accountability in the home.
So we've essentially mapped the entire ecosystem of house cleaning in 2026. We've looked at the massive logistical leap from a standard $120 maintenance clean to the HEPA filter requirements of a $900 post-construction job.
And the intense hospitality pressures of an Airbnb turnover.
Right. We unpacked the friction multipliers, how the spemelized surfaces of a large home, the elevator wait times of a downtown condo, and the chemical difference between maintenance and remediation all dictate your final invoice.
And we explored how flat rate pricing acts as a transfer of risk from the homeowner to the company.
Armed with this data, you are no longer flying blind. You know why the $80 quote is a liability trap, and you have the context to decide if spending $200 to buy back your Sunday afternoon is the right move for your life.
You have the tools to navigate the market and protect your home, your budget, and your time.
But I want to leave you with one final thought, building on that idea of the psychological scaffolding we just discussed.
Okay.
The guide mentioned that having a scheduled cleaner forces us to tidy up between visits. But it begs a truly fascinating question about human behavior.
What's that?
Does outsourcing our chores fundamentally change our psychological relationship with our own private spaces? Think about it. When you are running around the house on a Wednesday night, frantically putting away shoes and hiding the clutter, who are you actually doing it for?
Oh, wow. That's a great point.
Are we keeping the house organized for ourselves so we can enjoy our sanctuary? Or have we internalized the process and we're just performing tidiness so our professional cleaners don't judge us when they walk through the door?
Just trying to look like we have it all together.
Exactly. It's a strange little paradox about the things we own and who we perform for. Something to ponder the next time you find yourself furiously panicked tidying the living room 10 minutes before the professionals arrive.